translation. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, calves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Purport. And this purport is, the translation is from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the purport is from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, quoted by Vivekananda Maharaj. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura explains the opulence of Govardhan Hill as follows. Paniya refers to the fragrant, cool water from the Govardhan waterfalls, which Krishna and Balaram drink and use to wash their feet and mouths. Govardhan also refers to other beverages, such as honey, mango juice, and pilu juice. Surya Rasa indicates Durva grass, used to make the religious offering of Argya. Govardhan also has grass that is fragrant, soft, and conducive to the strong growth of cows and increased production of milk. Thus, this grass is used for feeding the transcendental herds. Kundara refers to the calves where Krishna, Balaram, and their friend, the caves where Krishna, Balaram, and their friends play, sit, and lie down. These caves give pleasure when the weather is too hot or too cold, or when it is raining. Govardhan also features soft roots for eating, jewels for ornamenting the body, flat places for sitting, and lamps and mirrors in the form of smooth stones, glistening water, and other natural substances. Nama Om Krishna Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kinane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurudham Prajane Nir Vishesha Shunyavati Prasaya Lesatam Rupam Harati Vajalam Hamra Mandaya Devi Vyakti Prasaya Mahamande Shri Guru Dhinatame Vama Vinati Vandasya Vina Vina Shala Vaya Chakshu Vum Vyatam Vena Satsman Shri Guru Vena Maha Manchakalpa Tura Vista Kripasaya Vena Chakati Dham
We were planning 9:30, but it's obviously going to be longer. Just go ahead. No problem.
I know you were saying we only have an hour for this and 5 minutes to eat and 3 seconds to wash our plates.
This is specifically when from noon till
so we have a
end of
flexibility.
But now you can go.
So this lila of Govardhan is extremely instructive in so many ways. I mean, it's a wonderful lila. Here, this verse that I read is spoken by the gopis. And the gopis are glorifying Lord Krishna, his flute, his pastimes. And so now they're glorifying Govardhan as Haridasa Varya means the best of the devotees. So we also know that Govardhan is not only the best of the devotees, but also Krishna himself. It's interesting how the Govardhan Lila began to take place, because it started actually with Krishna and Balaram having an experience, a little lesson, from the Brahmins and the wives of the Brahmins. Because Krishna and Balaram were playing with their cows just around Govardhan. And their friends became hungry, so they sent their friends to the Brahmins who were performing some sacrifice and told them, will you ask them for some food? They have many supplies. Tell them you're hungry, and that you better tell them that Balaram sent you, because Balaram, he's a little bit higher birth than I am, just a young boy, Vaishnava, they may not give you in my name, but in Balaram's name they should give. Because Vasudev, he's more exalted. So they went, the Brahmins refused, they said they were too busy, couldn't be bothered. They, after all, they were worshipping the Supreme Lord. What could they do with Krishna and Balaram? course came back to Krishna, didn't work. We didn't get anything, we're still hungry, what are we going to do? So then Krishna Balaram said, well, why don't you go to the wives of the Brahmanas? Tell them the same thing. Tell them that Krishna and Balaram are here with their friends and they're hungry, and maybe they'll find something to give you. So their experience with the wives was very different, as you all know, and the wives were very enthusiastic and eager to feed them. But then after this incident, after experiencing the mentality of these Brahmanas who were trying to perform these Vedic sacrifices, Krishna and Balaram went home to find Nanda Maharaj and the coward men of Vrindavan doing the same thing. They were also setting up for a Vedic sacrifice. What is this? Setting up for a Vedic sacrifice. And those guys, they didn't even recognize me and Balaram. And now my father and all the members of Vrindavan are engaged in the same affair. Not a very good thing. And besides that, this Indradev, he needs to learn a lesson. I know, maybe because I'm sitting in his heart, I know, that Indra is becoming, once again, not the first time, not the second time, and it won't be the last time, that Indra is becoming a little bit arrogant. His head is getting a little too big for his body. And he needs to be cut down to size. So Krishna is expert at doing many things with one stroke. And so he decided to alter the procedures that the cowherd men were engaged in. And as you will hear and see later on, he had some very interesting arguments, some of them not even according to Vaishnava theology. Maybe they wouldn't have gotten an A on their paper. So Krishna was speaking to them and saying various different, even very materialistic philosophy. What do you need to worship Indra for? He doesn't have anything to do with us. And if you say that he gives rain, well, I say that the rain is falling in so many places. It's falling on the hills, it's falling on the rocks, it's falling on the water. There's water all over the place, and they're not doing any puja to Indra. Are the lakes doing puja to Indra? Are the mountains doing puja to Indra? Certainly not. The waterfalls on Govardhan, are they doing puja to Indra? No. But they're all having enough water, no problem. So why should there be a problem for us? Why do we have to do this big sacrifice to him? He's pouring water anyway. Besides, he's obligated, you know, that all the demigods are obligated. They're obligated by our karma. Whatever it is that we do are the right thing, then they're obligated to give us the results. We don't have to go out of our way and do any big hoopla over there. So there's no need. And you know what? There's another reason also. Because we're Vaishyas. And our business is taking care of cows. And we're dependent on Govardhan for all the reasons that the gopis mentioned here. That they provide us with caves, they provide our calves with nice grasses, they have beautiful water. The boys and I, we play there all day, and it's such a nice place to play. We have so many wonderful activities there. Govardhan gives us minerals for decorating ourselves, and there's mirrors there in the form of shiny rocks. And there's even a place where we can slide and play games. So Govardhan is really who we should worship. Why are we worshiping this Indra? What do we have to do with him? So at first, Nanda Maharaj and the coward men were a little bit concerned. But then they had to admit that Krishna had some pretty good arguments. And besides, Krishna was their life. Ultimately, whatever Krishna wanted, Krishna would get. So at first, Nanda Maharaj said, well, listen, since you have such a desire for a sacrifice, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll make you a deal. We'll do this sacrifice to please Indra, just so we don't get in any problem. And then later we'll do another sacrifice. We'll gather lots of other nice things and we'll offer them to Govardhan. Krishna said, huh. It's going to take too long to do that. You know how children are. Children are very impatient, right? I want it now. I don't want to wait. So Krishna was like that. Come on. Pita, let's do it now. You have all these things ready. You have to get them all ready again. It's going to take too long. Let's just have the sacrifice now. And let's use these things that you've already collected for worshiping Govardhan Hill. And so Nanda Maharaj agreed, and there was a very wonderful celebration. Krishna told him to prepare so many nice preparations, rice, dal, halva, puris, pakoras, lada, rasagula, sandhi, sweet rice. and to call for the Brahmin, and to take the cows and put them in front and circumnavigate the hill, and in this way to worship Govardhan. And it's described that the residents of Vrindavan and from all the surrounding areas brought many, many, many wonderful preparations. It's described in the Ananda Vrindavan Temple that actually the preparations were stacked in a huge hill. And that hill was called Ankut, which means literally a big hill of food. And that hill was stacked with food from all over. And it's described that the different preparations resembled rocks and lakes of sweet rice and so many different things, but it made like a second Govardhan Hill. Mm-hmm. It was so beautiful that it appeared to be a second Govardhan Hill. And then Krishna got up on top of Govardhan Hill and he appeared in a huge form. He expanded himself into still another Govardhan Hill. So now we're up to three. We have three Govardhan Hills. We have the original Govardhan Hill, who's the best devotee of Krishna, Haridasa Varya. And then we have this Prashadam Hill, which appeared like Govardhan because of its beauty and because of its size. And we also have Krishna on top of the hill declaring that I am Govardhan Hill. I am Govardhan Hill. So Govardhan Hill is simultaneously Krishna's best devotee and also Krishna himself. And Krishna in this huge form, he ate all this hill. And it's described that by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that he not only ate the preparations that were in front of him, but he ate the preparations that were being offered to him as far away as Nandagram, which is quite a distance, by the way. And he was sitting there in this form on top of the hill, and he was eating prasadam from very far away, or bhoga, from very far away, as well as the bhoga that was very much right in front of him. And he was very much enjoying this offering. And he kept saying, bring me more, bring me more. And they kept bringing nice prasadam, nice prasadam. Bring me more, bring me more. So in this way, Krishna engaged in his pastime of eating lots of prasadam and having a nice festival with the residents of Vrindavan. But simultaneously, in another place, Indra was becoming more and more angry, as we know. He was watching this festival. He was seeing all the offerings being diverted from him to Krishna, to Govardhan, on Krishna's order. And he was thinking, what is this? This little boy who's not even very cultured, he's eating with his left hand, because it's described that he was holding a lump of yogurt in his, you know, he was eating, you know, like children. Children are not so conscious of these things. But what, he's not even so cultured. He doesn't even know what he's doing. Just a little kid. And they all took him so seriously that now they've changed the tradition. This tradition which is going on in our village for such a long time, in Vrindavan for such a long time, now they've changed this tradition on the advice of this talkative boy, Krishna, and now they're doing the puja for Govardhan. And he decided to teach them a lesson. And this was all Krishna's plan. He decided he was going to make Indra angry. He knew exactly what Indra would do. And then he would act accordingly. And so according to Krishna's plan, as things generally go, even though we have our plans, there's a saying that says, we make our plans and God laughs. Yeah. So Indra made his plan and Krishna laughed, literally. And so then, you know, Indra did his thing and he sent pillars of rain. And it was raining. And the cows were in great distress. And they began to pray to Krishna. And then the cowherd boys and all the residents of Vrindavan, they also began to pray to Krishna, only you can save us. No one else can save us. So Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. And it's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that there was a special kind of yoga maya. I have the name here. Where is it? I never look at my notes. I made them. Here it is. Samhariki. So there was a special kind of yoga maya called Samhariki, which covered Krishna as he ran from his house all the way to Govardhan. Now that means that he ran quite a distance. So, but he didn't get wet, even a little bit. And then he just ran and he lifted Govardhan Hill on the pinky of his left hand. And he did even that was very carefully orchestrated, because the left hand is considered the weak hand. We do everything with the right hand unless you're lefty like me. So the left hand is not very strong. And of all the fingers, the pinky, the small finger, is the least strong. So with the least strong hand and the least strong finger, this 7-year-old boy lifted up Govardhan Hill. And at first the residents thought, well, that's amazing that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, but that's not big enough for all of us. We have hundreds and thousands of cows. And there's all the coward boys and all the gopis and all the and our carts, and how are we going to get everything under the hill? And so then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, described that Govardhan Hill began to expand. And he, because he was in such ecstasy, being held by the hand of Krishna, and getting this opportunity to serve the residents of Vrindavan, that not only did he expand himself large enough to be able to cover all the cows and all the residents of Vrindavan, but also he felt the rain and the lightning that was coming from Indra as if it were flowers being thrown upon his body. He felt no pain, no suffering at all. And Krishna, by his mystic power, as the rain was falling, it was creating, at first, when the cowherd boys and cowherd men came to Krishna, they couldn't distinguish where the low places were and where the high places were. The water had risen so high that everything was like a level thing. I've seen that actually in Vrindavan sometimes during the rainy season, the Jamuna floods. And then you can't go on parikrama past where the Keshigat is. The water comes right up to those temples. You have to go into Govardhan. And you can't see where the stairs start or anything. So this was like that. They couldn't tell where the high places and low. But once Krishna lifted the hill, then Maya's mystic power, as soon as the water hit the ground, Krishna would dry up. So it actually didn't even damage anything. There was no water damage. Like in Mayapur, when we have our floods, sometimes we have to repaint and replant and the trees get moved around. But nothing was damaged because Krishna dried up the water as soon as the water fell. So this was going on, and meanwhile, all the residents of Vrindavan were in total ecstasy just looking at Krishna. And it's described that actually Krishna was looking at every single person under that hill, directly, eye to eye. No one was seeing his back. No one was seeing his side. Everyone was seeing Krishna as if Krishna were facing him. This is a similar experience that the cowherd boys had when they would eat lunch with Krishna. They would sit in a circle, and they would eat lunch with Krishna, just like there. And then every one of them would see Krishna as looking at him. So also in the Govardhan Lila, everybody was looking at Krishna, and Krishna was looking at everybody, and everybody saw Krishna looking directly at them. And their eyes were open wide, and Krishna also absorbed in the beauty of the gopis and the devotion of his devotees. Then no one felt any hunger or thirst or pain. We have this song, "We're not hungry, we're not thirsty, we don't even want to sleep. We just wonder how is Krishna held up the hill for one whole week." So Krishna held up the hill for 7 days and 7 nights, and during that time, no one felt any discomfort except for one person. That was Indra. He felt a lot of discomfort because he started to realize that he had made a very big mistake. And he was looking down there, and when he realized what Krishna had done and how ineffective his most powerful weapons were, he became very humbled. Not humbled enough, but very humbled. And what he did was, he didn't know what to do. He became confused. So he went to Mount Meru and he asked Brahma, Lord Brahma, what to do? What should I do now? I think I blew it. Brahma said, you know, I had a similar experience. And you know, I'll tell you what to do. You should take all your kingly regalia off, get rid of that crown that's weighing down your head, and don't come on your elephant either. Take off all your signs of royalty. Take Sarabi, because Krishna likes cows, and go there in a very humble mood and apologize. My personal experience is that Krishna is very kind. And if you're humble, he'll forgive you. So Indra took his advice and went before Krishna. And actually, what happened was Krishna told the residents of Vrindavan after they were all home and they were celebrating and everything. Krishna said, I'm going to go do a damage estimate. I'll be back in a little while. I want to go check Govardhan Hill and make sure nothing was hurt. And so he went to Govardhan Hill deliberately so that he would be alone, where all the residents of Vrindavan, we learned in our counseling class, or when we're taking care of devotees, that we should never chastise or correct anybody in front of other people, because we get embarrassed and then the effect of our instruction is minimized. And so Krishna did the same thing. He made a particular arrangement so that he would meet Lord King Indra or Indra in a very secluded place, quietly, where all the residents of Vrindavan were engaged elsewhere. And in that place, Indra bowed before Krishna, and he expressed his sorrow. And so, at first, Krishna took a kind of sarcastic attitude towards Indra. He said, oh, you've come, or he didn't say, but he said with his body language, he said, oh, you've come, maybe expecting me to apologize because I disturbed your sacrifice? Is that why you're here? Vishwanath Chakrabarti describes that Krishna had this attitude towards Indra, that maybe you've come because I took all your offerings, so you want me to, I'm really sorry. I didn't really mean to take all the stuff that was meant for you. So immediately, Indra picked up on that, that idea of Krishna. No, none of it was your fault. It was all my fault. And so then Krishna's inquiry was, well, how could such a senior Vaishnava fall into so much illusion? After all, you're the king of heaven, you know. I put you in charge, but it's a big responsibility. How did you become so illusioned? He said, well, the thing is that I was envious. And when I was envious, I got angry. And when I got angry, all my intelligence disappeared. And therefore, even though it appears that I'm so advanced, or I should be so advanced, you gave me so much responsibility, but in this situation where I became overwhelmed by envy and anger, I couldn't think straight. And therefore I did this really stupid thing, and will you please forgive me? And then Indra went on to protect himself. He said to Krishna, listen, by humiliating me this way, you've already punished me enough. Don't punish me anymore, okay? I don't need to be punished anymore. Actually, I'm just like a stupid animal. If you punish an animal, then very shortly afterwards, the animal forgets and does the same thing again. And that's what will happen with me too. I'm just like a stupid animal. If you punish me more, then I'll just forget and I'll do the same thing again. So better what you should do is purify my heart and remove envy, the envy from my heart and pride from my heart, so I'll never be envious or prideful again. So that was his prayer to Krishna. It's described that actually he wasn't very sincere. He was a little bit sincere. He felt sorry. But at the same time, he was still maintaining some pride. And it's pointed out that it could be seen later on, because as soon as Krishna came to get the Parijata flower, or the Parijata tree, then immediately Indra forgot all his humility and all his apologies and all his awe and reverence, and he immediately did the exact same thing again. He started calling Krishna all kinds of names and threatening him, and who the heck do you think you are taking this tree from the heavenly planets without asking my permission first? So his humility was short-lived. It was very ephemeral. But at least in this position, he was begging for forgiveness. And Krishna gave him forgiveness, but he didn't purify his heart. He didn't remove, or he didn't promise him that you will never be envious again. Let me be free from all pride. Rather, he said to him, get control of your senses. I'm going to let you be the king still. You can remain in your position, but you need to control your lower nature. And so Indra agreed. He was, as we often are, unsuccessful again a few times. But nevertheless, he was grateful, and then he bowed down to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna forgave him for his offense. But that wasn't the end of it. Then Sarabi came. And it's described that this Sarabi cow that was with Indra was from the heavenly planets. And the cows of Krishna in Vrindavan, they were of a higher spiritual nature. But because they were cows, Sarabi prayed to Krishna as if those cows were her offspring. Because, you know, sometimes we feel a camaraderie with, like, all our devotees and say, well, all of us Vaishnavas, we're one big family. So in this way, Sarabi was talking about all the cows and calves in Vrindavan, and he said, you know, this is a problem, because you've made Indra the king, but the king is supposed to take care of all the subjects, and he wasn't taking care of the cows. He wanted to kill the cows in Vrindavan. So I don't accept that Indra should be the king of the cows. You should be the king of the cows. Because for us, cows, we were put in danger by Indra. He was ready to kill us all. And you saved us. So I propose that you become the king of the cows, Govinda. It means Go Indra, or the king of the cows. So you become the king of the cows, Govinda. And we'll have a coronation ceremony right now. And so what happened was that Sarabi bathed Krishna Abhishek with her milk, and Indra's Airavata elephant came and bathed Krishna with water from his trunks. And in that way, Krishna was coronated. Lord Brahma appeared, he placed a crown on Krishna's head, and Krishna was coronated as Govinda. So this is a very nice pastime that we experience here, and there are so many lessons to be learned. Lessons about pride, lessons about worship, lessons about what really matters. Because here we have this prayer by the gopis that we chanted today, that we read, in which Govardhan is called Haridasa Varya, or the best of the devotees. And why is that? Is it because he makes very big arrangements for festivals or huge prayers he offers? No, it's because he provides Krishna with the necessities. And what are those necessities? Minerals for painting himself and decorating himself, flowers to put in behind his ears so that he can run and play with his friends, caves for him and his friends to hide in, and for Krishna and the gopis to have their transcendental pastimes. He provides grass for his cows so that they can enjoy very nicely. So in that way, Govardhan is providing many, many simple things. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a fruit, a flower, some water, and I'll accept it. He doesn't even say many fruits or many flowers. He just says one flower, one fruit, one leaf, a little water, and I'll accept it. But the qualification is that it's offered with love, that it's offered with devotion. So although in this particular case and in the case before, the brahmanas, Indra, they had a lot of opulence. They were making big elaborate arrangements for worship. You'll see in our play today, such elaborate worship arrangements are made by bringing so many things, flags and flowers, and stacking different things and making all kinds of arrangements, trying to make an offering. But all Krishna takes is the love. That's all he needs. He doesn't need anything else. And from Govardhan, he takes the simplest things. Some flowers, some water, a cave, a few, you know, places to play, places for the cows to eat. And therefore, Govardhan is the best of the devotees, the Haridasa Varya, the most exalted of all the devotees. Also in Nectar of Instruction, Govardhan is also described in a very wonderful way, how he worships or how he's honored by the devotees as being such an asset to Krishna's pastimes. And then there are different aspects of Govardhan Hill, like Radhakund, which is considered to be the most exalted place because Radharani and Krishna had such wonderful pastimes there. And these are all parts of the Govardhan Hill. And then, of course, there's the story that we learn from Indra. And how Indra, even though he had achieved, and we can imagine that Indra had engaged in many, many very pious activities to get the position of Indra. Didn't happen that he became Indra by accident. You know, he qualified himself in so many different ways, probably for many, many lifetimes, to get the position of Indra. But even one so exalted that rises so high can fall down so fast if he falls victim to envy or anger. That someone who is so intelligent, who has Brihaspati himself as his spiritual master, when he comes in contact with anger, he can lose his intelligence completely. So completely that he wanted to kill all the residents of Vrindavan and all the cows. Can you imagine? If someone at ISKCON did that, what would we do to them? But Krishna was so merciful that he allowed Indra to continue and tried to encourage him that please give up this envy, give up this anger, give up this pride. And as you can see, by reading further in the Srimad Bhagavatam and before in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Indra has this problem frequently and frequently realizes he makes mistakes. Prabhupada talks in the Krishna book about Indra several times as displaying demoniac qualities. And then in parentheses he says, but of course he wasn't a demon. But he did these demoniac things. And so when we become overwhelmed by pride and envy and anger, then we do demoniac things, even though we may not be demoniac. Even though we may not be demons, we're trying to be devotees. But still we make mistakes and very grave errors. So, but there's never an opportunity to give up. Then we can learn this also from this pastime, is that even though the mistake may be very grave, Indra made a very grave offense. And not only did he offend Krishna, he offended Krishna's devotees, which we hear is even worse than offending Krishna. That he wanted to kill all the residents of Vrindavan and all the cows. And he put them in a suffering condition by pouring very heavy rain and hail down on the cows. It's described that the cows were hiding the calves under this, the Brahma cows, they have this skin here on their neck. And so they were hiding that calves underneath that fleshy part of the neck. And the bulls, they had this big hump on their back that the hail was hitting their back and shattering to small pieces. That's how hard they were being pummeled with this big hailstorms that were falling. And the cows were getting more. They were glancing at Indra with very angry looks. And they were praying to Krishna to please help them. So Krishna saw his devotees suffering in this way, and yet he still gave Indra other chances. And this is not the last chance, either, that he gives Indra. So Krishna is very merciful. If we come to him with sincerity, especially if we come to him through the auspices of his pure devotee, if we take shelter of the devotee, and the devotee recommends us to Krishna, then Krishna is very kind. Even Indra, he took shelter of the devotee. He went to Lord Brahma. He said, oops, I made a big mistake. What should I do now? And Lord Brahma, having had a similar experience, was able to tell him, this is what you should do. And this will help. Krishna will be kind to you. He'll accept your apology if you have the proper attitude, if you come in the proper way. And Lord Indra followed his instruction, and therefore he was successful. So for us also, if we follow the order of our spiritual master, there's practically no mistake that we can make that is so grave that we cannot be forgiven. If we